Hebrews chapter 12. We've been thinking, and a lot of the songs this morning have been about heaven. And we've been thinking about what happens after we die. What are we expecting there? What will we face? What will it be like to meet our Savior? And so I want to think just for a couple of minutes this morning about the word afterward. We've been talking about what about after we die, but I want to think for a couple of minutes this morning just about what about afterward in this life. And we can I could give lots of scenarios around that. What's going to happen after you get married? And we could go on. What's going to happen to Esther after Dave dies? What's going to happen to the family? What's going to be said of us after we get the news of cancer? What's going to be said of us after our friend dies, or our husbands die, or moms die, or dads die? What will be said of us after the things of this life hit us? It's a powerful question. Hebrews chapter 12, before I jump into these verses. Hebrews chapter 10 and 11 unpack some of the things that we can expect to face on this earth, the things that we can expect to face as Christian people. A couple verses out of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 32, it says, "But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated," or after you were a Christian, after you gave your life to Christ, then what happened? "You endured great struggle and suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly because you became a friend to me and I was enduring these kind of things." And so you went through incredible things in life. And then it says, "For you have need of endurance." So in verse 36, "After you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." And it talks about how Jesus will come. And he says in verse 38, "Now the just will live by faith, but if anyone draws back." And in the context that he's talking, what he's saying about is as we face the things in life, if any of us recoil from that, if we draw back from it, it's one of the things that I've been drawn to Dave in what I said earlier. Dave did not draw back. He faced, at least yet he hasn't, he's faced the news with courage. He's faced it with confidence, knowing that the Lord is with him and he's moving into it. He's not giving up on his faith. You know, the truth is, I just heard this statistic on Wednesday in our staff devotions. 50% of the people that leave Christianity are 50 and over. I thought it was the young people that are falling away from the Lord. It's actually the 50-year-olds and older, half of the people that are 50 years old and old. That's staggering. People that have walked with the Lord are all of a sudden saying, "Wait a minute, I don't know if this is worth it anymore." That's drawing back. And God says, "My soul has no pleasure in that." So what about us afterwards? What about us when we face the things in life, the tribulations and trials? And then in verse chapter 11, he goes in and he talks about Abraham and all those people. And then in verse 36, he says, people Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And then in verse 40 it says, God provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Powerful things. There's something better awaiting us somewhere. Well, we know not somewhere. We know where it's at. It's in heaven. There's something that we have to look forward to. But what about us right now in the middle? I want to read chapter 12. Actually, I'm going to take the time because I'm going to start at verse 3. Actually, no, I'm going to start at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down in the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And what he's unpacking there is, as we face things in life and as we go through things, and he talks later on about the discipline of the Lord, and I'm just going to make this brief because it could be. We look at the discipline of the Lord as the Lord chastening us when we do something wrong, and there is a part of that that is true. But actually, the chastening of the Lord or the discipline of the Lord has to do with the fact that he wants to train us through the things that we face and go through in this life. He wants to train us and prepare us for what's ahead. And he says in here, if you think you've gone through anything in your life, just consider what the Lord has gone through and what he's faced. And keep that in mind as you face the things in life that come at us. Verse 7, I'm going to jump down there. If you endure chastening, God deals with us as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if... And I want you to keep in mind the word here, train. Okay? God wants to train us. What human is there that don't want to train their children in the path that they want them to walk and where they want them to go, and train them what it means to follow the Lord? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subject to the Father of spirits and lives? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he does it for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. No training seems to be joyful but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So one thing I want to consider just for a minute. We have a response. The things that come at us from life, whether it's the news of cancer, whether it's the death of a family member, whatever we face in life, the Lord wants to train us through those experiences. And we have a choice of what we're going to do with that. Are we going to be trained by what we're facing and going through in life? Or will we push it off and not be trained? And actually, it talks about that later on. Verse 12, it says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many are defiled. And then it says this in verse 16 and 17, and I want you to catch these verses. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For we know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. There's a lot packed into those verses. There's lots packed into it. But if I can say just a couple of things, keeping our focus on the thing afterwards, Esau was called a profane person. And really, profanity, out of that comes our word profanity. But really, a profane person is someone that treats what's holy as common. That's where profanity comes from. We take the name of the Lord in vain. We use profanity. It's taking what's holy and we treat it as common. We use it as slang words in our culture today. That's profanity. And by the way, let me just say this. It's becoming a very common thing. I'm not sure how many pastors I've heard preach in the last while that use profanity in their message. It's taking what's holy and treating it as common. That's what Esau did. Esau took something that was holy, something that was God-given to him by his birthright, was passed down to him, and he said, I'm hungry. I don't care anything about this God-given thing. I'm going to trade it for a bowl of soup. And putting it in the context that we're talking about here, he took what was holy and traded it for something temporal. In the context that we're talking in this passage, where in these couple of chapters, where he's talking about the fact that we're going to face things in life and we're going to go through them, many times, even in my own life, I don't want to face the difficult things in life. I don't want to go through them. And I will do anything within my power to get out of them, including wanting the Lord to heal me. I've been anointed. The Lord has touched me and healed me beyond a shadow of a doubt. Where I was sick, I was anointed. It was taken care of just like that. But so often in my life, the only reason I want healing is because I want out of the difficult things in life. And I become profane, just like Esau, because I'm not willing to stick in the fire and be trained by whatever God wants me to be trained by. I tell you, I want to be trained by the Lord. And sometimes I have to go through difficult things. I have to go through the fire. Sometimes it's discipline because I've done something wrong. Sometimes it's just a lesson that I need to learn. And the Lord says, learn it, because I want to train you. I want to train you for what I have for you in this life. I want to train you in preparation for eternity. I want you to be with me. I want you. So the question is for us this morning. So what about our lives? What about afterwards? I know in our journey with Starla, I've heard her say numbers of times, it takes... Is it okay if I say this? I didn't ask her permission to say this. But I've heard her say numbers of times, it takes way more faith to believe that I will have strength to get through this day than it does for me to believe that God will heal me. But it's sticking in the fire and allowing ourselves to be trained by what we're facing in life. So are we going to be one? In the first passage, it says we're going through these things and we have a choice. What about afterwards? Afterwards, it produces righteousness in our life if we allow ourselves to be trained by it. If we allow ourselves to be trained by it, it's going to produce a deeper part of Christianity. God will be able to work in our lives in a deeper way, but we have to allow ourselves to be trained by it, not want to escape it. Like Esau, who for a moment takes what's holy, what the Lord is trying to do, what God is giving him, the blessing that God has gave him, said, I don't care about that. I want relief and I want it right now. And I'll trade my birthright for a bowl of soup. I don't know about you, but that's my tendency. I'll trade my birthright for a bowl of soup. But what about us here this morning? What about afterward in our life? And I want us to think about that. As we think about the future, as we think about life, let's pray. Lord, we've been reminded again that there's a place, an eternal place, where we will live with you for eternity. We have a choice of living with you for eternity. But really, that's only if we allow what we experience and what we go through and what we face in this life to train us and to teach us and to mold us so that we can allow you to do a greater work in our hearts. And Lord, this morning I confess that I've wanted out of the fire sometimes. I've wanted to trade what you've wanted to do in my heart for a bowl of soup, for the temporal, for the here and the now. And I trade the eternal for that. Father, I pray for us as a congregation as we go through and walk through the death of Aaron and Dave's journey and now Ralph's journey and Arlene's journey. Lord, I pray that we would be trained by these things, that we would allow them to affect us and to shape us and to mold us and to learn what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.